So good morning, I'm Kristen O'Flaherty, and today I look forward to sharing with you a community-based project we call Building Capacity, Nutrition, and Diabetes Education Among Vietnamese Refugees in Tucson, and this is a project I headed as an MPH student at the University of Arizona. So first I have to tell you that I have no personal financial relationships to disclose relevant to this presentation. And here's what I'll take you over the next 14 minutes. First, a project background, including a brief refugee history, our project funding, and the many partnerships we formed along the way, our assessment, design, implementation, and evaluation methods, and finally, results and conclusions with some comments on capacity building, lessons learned, public health implications, and sustainable partnerships. So here's a brief history of Vietnamese refugees and how they came to the United States. Back in the 1860s, an ethnic group migrated from Nepal to Bhutan for agricultural opportunity. And they lived there peacefully for over a century, maintaining a lot of their cultural identity, their religious beliefs, their customs. And it wasn't until about the mid-1980s the Bhutan government felt threatened by this ethnic minority and began implementing a lot of harsh, severe, discriminatory policies that eventually pushed that ethnic minority out of Bhutan. And over 100,000 people fled back to Nepal, but Nepal was reluctant to reintegrate this community back into their society. So instead, they settled in across 7 refugee camps in Nepal, and they stayed there for almost 2 decades. And then in 2006, the United States agreed to allow 60,000 Bhutanese refugees to settle in the United States. And since then, about 2,500 Bhutanese have come through Arizona, making it the 5th largest state for resettlement in the United States. So thanks to refugee resettlement programs in Arizona, they do have access to financial assistance, case management support, and healthcare coverage for no more than 8 months, and after that they're on their own. And they also face some other significant challenges, such as lack of transportation, limited English proficiency, cultural differences in healthcare-seeking behaviors, such as preference for home remedies or waiting till they're severely ill to seek medical attention, and like many of us, difficulty understanding the U.S. healthcare system. So how did the Melanie and Zuckerman College of Public Health get involved with the refugee community in Tucson? Well, back in 2012, before I got on board with this project, my faculty mentor, Dr. Karen Heckert, and a former MPH student, had met the Bhutanese Mutual Assistance Association of Tucson at a local cultural event, and with a grant and a very critical partnership with the Pima County Health Department, they were able to train 6 community health promoters from the Bhutanese refugee community to perform outreach. And it was at one of those outreach events that the director of Pima County Health Department Women, Infants, and Children Program eagerly introduced herself and really wanted to do a similar project because of their growing refugee clientele. And here we attempted to demonstrate our growth of partnerships from phase 1 to phase 2. We were introduced to the state refugee health coordinator in Phoenix, and WIC also brought a lot of their partners to the table, so that made our resources that much more abundant. So our first step was to assess our needs and assets, and with our new partners, we examined their existing materials and resources and looked at the cultural appropriateness of the, and then we had to make a list of the priority health needs of our refugee community. And because of the dietary habits they endured in the refugee camps, they relied on food rations that had very little nutritious value. They're at very high risk of diabetes, or they developed diabetes in the camps and didn't know it. So when they came to the U.S., a lot of them gained weight very rapidly because they have a lot of food here. So that just put them at higher risk for diabetes, and the number of diabetes cases has shot up. So that was definitely, nutrition and diabetes were top priorities in this group, as well as some other food-related and physical activity-related health issues. So our next step was to develop a training and curriculum that addressed all these health needs in a culturally appropriate way. So now we're at phase 2, and our goals were threefold. One was to increase the Tucson Bhutanese refugee community's capacity to address their own health needs through the community health promoter model, adopting what we had learned from phase 1. Goal two was to address health information and service needs in the refugee community, not only by delivering health education, but also helping them to connect to service needs that were available at the health department. And goal three shifts focus to the healthcare service providers at Pima County Health Department and helping to increase their capacity to better serve the refugee community in Tucson. So thanks to a grant from the Arizona Area Health Education Centers Program, we were able to accomplish those goals. So then our next step was to recruit health promoters, and the BMOT leadership had their own criteria for selecting members in their community, more trusted members, some were acculturated, some were already teachers in the refugee camp, so we recruited 12 of them. And then in further preparation for the health promoter training, BMOT and the International Rescue Committee had provided the health department staff with the cultural training. And meanwhile, our BMOT, University of Arizona, and health department team had developed training manuals, and it was a 3-inch thick binder full of all our training presentations, supplementary handouts, Nepali language handouts that would be distributed on training day. So our actual health promoter training consisted of 9 training modules that addressed all the priority health needs we had made in the needs assessment, and we had lots of fun, interactive games while we were equipping them with skills on how to connect their fellow community members with important health services and health information. So then another long Saturday, we took a field trip to the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, as well as one of the many clinics that the health department has, and that was to further familiarize the health promoters with the healthcare service locations in Tucson. So we wanted to increase their self-efficacy to assist their community members in helping to utilize those resources. So we also had a lot of evaluation methods for this project. We had a pre and post test for the training that addressed all the learning objectives we covered, and then we made sure to thoroughly review that post test to make sure they really understood the educational concepts. And our course evaluation said that everyone did feel prepared for outreach, and they would also recommend our training to friends or other refugee communities. And for the most effective outreach plan, we had 4 separate sessions in the 4 neighborhoods in Tucson where the Bhutanese predominantly live. And our big task here was to condense almost 12 hours of training into 2 2-hour workshops. So I helped streamline that process. I wrote lesson plans and made PowerPoints to go with the lesson plans. And I also worked with the health promoters in developing even more culturally appropriate activities that they could do during the outreach sessions. And then we also had our health promoters help us with some data collection, including basic demographic information, their current program enrollment at the health department, and also if they were interested in program enrollment, so the health promoters could follow up with them later. And here are our outreach attendance numbers. There's always one outlier due to factors you can't control, but overall, it was very positive, reaching almost 200 refugees from the community. So we had some members of our partnership sit in on our outreach sessions, and they all reported that health promoters seemed really prepared for their presentations. And we also had the health promoters fill out self-assessments, and they all reported feeling very prepared as well, which is great. And there are variables you just can't capture through a survey, and you can only observe and document. And there was so much evidence of capacity building in this project. For example, we increased our health promoters from 6 to 12, just from phase 1 to phase 2. This time around, we had a senior health promoter serve as a focal person, and he led all our meetings, and he communicated to the rest of the health promoter team for us. So helpful. The team was always open to share ideas and voice their concern for their community, and they were really eager to promote their own outreach sessions to their neighborhoods. They created their own materials and made up their own activities for the outreach sessions. And now BMOT is even seeking their own grants and heading their own projects because they have the tools and empowerment to do so, which is great. And we did some follow-up interviews with the health promoters 3 months after outreach, and they still have a ton of pride in their leadership role and they continue to promote health in their neighborhoods. And then 6 months after outreach, we did some follow-up interviews with the health department staff, and they talked about how much they learned just from the process of mentoring the health promoters. As one staff member I interviewed said, it was a win-win situation. And they talked about how there's actually changes in protocol now at the health department to better serve the refugee clientele. And now, even though our project basically ended, they continue to extend their partnership. Pima County Libraries heard about our project and contacted WIC and wanted to partner and do more workshops for the greater refugee community. So with every strength, there is a limitation. So one of our strengths was we were able to do some evaluation, but just due to a small sample size and lack of time and resources, we weren't able to really pilot our materials, which would have been helpful. Maybe next time. And while we did have a culturally appropriate training and curriculum, there were a lack of existing materials, so we had to do a lot of it from scratch. And we just had such a specific population, there just wasn't a whole lot already out there. So, and while the health department and the U of A team were able to provide technical assistance to the health promoters, just a lot of us were working off the clock sometimes, and time and availability is always a limitation, right? So, all right, so this project can definitely help inform community-based partnership models. As the health department staff member said, it is a win-win situation for everyone involved. For healthcare workers, it means they have more capacity to better help a minority clientele. And for minority communities, they may be more comfortable seeking healthcare services once they get to know the healthcare workers they've been involved with in the partnership model. And they can also build leadership and infrastructure within their community. And let's not forget public health students, very valuable because they're always looking for experience in the field, and tight budgets can always use free labor, right? So don't forget that. So today I hope we learned that community health promoters are very valuable resources for disseminating health information to the rest of their community, and it's a model that can be sustained through technical support from community advisory boards, the health department, ethnic community-based organizations, as well as the university community. Thank you. And thank you to everyone who helped me on this project.